This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com.
Michael O'Connell is, a hero forever in NC State basketball lore. The shot against Virginia is one that will be replayed forever and ever and ever. And when the time comes, Michael, you will never have to buy a drink in downtown Raleigh for the rest of your life. He joins us on the Adam Gold Show. First of all, have you come down from five games in 5 days and cutting the nets down and all of that?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely say now we're starting to come down and starting to focus more on our, next thing at hand. But it was definitely an unbelievable accomplishment with the guys and the team, fighting through all the adversity, winning those five games in 5 days. And, obviously, yesterday doing the watch party with all the fans was an unbelievable experience. So, but yeah, definitely now we're definitely coming back to earth and getting ready for our next game at hand.
So you're a lacrosse guy as well, and you could have played lacrosse in college as well. And you're a Long Island kid, and that's a big sport on Long Island. But when people say, "Man, you guys had to go through five games in 5 days," isn't going through everything you went through playing sports as a high schooler? Doesn't that kind of condition you for five games in 5 days?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. Growing up, especially with all the different sports, but even like in AAU basketball, you're probably playing three games a day for 2 or 3 days over the weekend and stuff like that. And then even lacrosse, playing multiple games a day in the hot sun. So growing up, a lot of us were definitely just kind of getting used to that. But when you get to the college level, it's definitely a little more intense, to say, and a little more challenging, especially when you're playing this top competition in the ACC.
Michael O'Connell is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. And by the way, just with lacrosse as an aside here, and we're not going to really get into it, but there are people hitting you with a stick for no reason. They're just beating you on the arms with a lacrosse stick. I still have never been able to figure that out. All right, so let's walk through this. Louisville was Louisville. Syracuse, you guys start to finish handled them. Now let's get to the Duke game. And you guys just played Duke about a week and a half ago, and you guys hung with them. And maybe we're better for the most part over the first 30 minutes, and then they eventually pull away. What enabled your group to turn that into what really was, I thought, a start-to-finish beating?
Yeah, I think the game plan going into the game was huge for us. The first time we played them, they beat us to a lot of 50-50 balls, and they got a lot of offensive rebounds for second-chance points. So going into the game, that was one of our focal points was, we need to finish possessions and limit them to one shot, because obviously they're a very talented group of guys, and if you're giving them more shots than us, it's going to be tough to beat them. So going into the game, we've put a priority on that, and I think we did a pretty good job at finishing plays and trying to get our offense started in transition, which helped us get the win.
Michael O'Connell is joining us here. Averaged 13 points a game, 3 assists per game, made 9 of 15 three-pointers in the ACC tournament, shooting 60% from the field. I think the analytics would tell you to shoot more, but maybe you can work that out with Coach Keats. Now let's get to the next game. And Virginia, and they play a style. The game is slower, and we all understand that. There are fewer possessions. And then I noticed that there were a lot of people that maybe stopped believing when it was a 7-point game in like the last 5 or so minutes. Where did your belief as a group come from? Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter, Capital Financial Advisory Group. You have a 401k, but you're changing jobs. You're taking that 401k with you. Next step.
Well, a lot of people leave it behind, which is not a good thing. I mean, if you're not at the company anymore, your 401k shouldn't either. That's when it's time for my 401k survival
box set.
You see it right here. I've got workbooks, guidebooks, DVDs in here that explain everything about your 401k. More importantly, how to build a lifetime income. It's a $300 value. I'm also going to give you a total retirement plan, which is a $1,000 value for the next 18 of you who call right now. No cost or obligation.
Call 888-843-0013 or text Adam to 600-700.
Adam Gold is a paid spokesman. Investment advisory services offered by Capital Financial Advisory Group, a North Carolina registered investment advisor.
Yeah, I think just it started from the before the tournament started was we have a great chance to go win this championship and make it on to, you know, the NCAA tournament. So just having that common goal, we knew no matter what we were going to go through, we had to stick together and try to finish the plan. And at the end of the day, you know, we just wanted to go out there and just win. So even when things weren't looking good for us and it wasn't looking bright, we knew we had to try to finish the game to the best of our ability and, you know, just keep fighting to the last whistle. So I think that was the big thing for us. Even if we were, you know, didn't make the right shot or they scored, just keeping our heads leveled and just going out there to make the next play.
So walk me through your mindset at the free throw line when Isaac McNeely is an 85% free thrower. He's got, I believe, a one-on-one, front end of a one-on-one, and that's the game. They make the shot, it's probably over, and if he doesn't, you have a chance. Was there a play design? Was it all about get the ball to Mike and see what happens?
No, it was just honestly, he obviously missed the shot, and Casey, you know, outletted to me, and my thing was just get up the court and try to go make a play, whether it was for myself or just try to, you know, maybe draw someone and kick it to another great shooter we have. And then just coming up the court, I just, you know, had a little bit of room, and I felt some confidence and stepped into it and just, you know, let it fly.
Are you surprised that Virginia didn't foul you or anybody in the backcourt?
Yeah, so after the fact, like, I didn't know in the moment. I wasn't even thinking about in the moment, honestly, that they were trying to foul. I was just, you know, my mindset was just trying to get a shot off. But looking back on it, people were kind of telling me that they had some fouls to give. So, but yeah, I mean, I don't know their thought process and how they approach it. So I'm not going to be one to judge, but I'm glad they didn't foul, obviously.
If you ever become a coach, what would your strategy be?
Well, looking back on it and having the experiences I've had, I would for sure foul.
Certainly. I wonder if Tony Bennett is going to rethink that whole strategy. Michael O'Connell is joining us here. Now, let me ask you about the Carolina game. Obviously, that's the big one. And again, another team that, you know, the first one you guys got off to, they were so good in the first one. The second one, you guys played with them toe-to-toe for basically half the game. And I don't know how much of that you carried over, but they absorbed the first punch, actually took a lead. But then in the second half, you guys just had more in the tank than they did. Why do you think that is?
I mean, just from our standpoint, I think, you know, we just really wanted it and we were ready for it. Obviously, we played four games prior, and our mindset is, you know, it's just one more. We got to leave everything out there. You know, at the end of the day, this could be the last game of the season or we're advancing on. So for us, we were just like, we have to, no matter what pain you're going through, how tired you are, it doesn't matter. We just got to figure it out in this moment because these last four minutes or 5 minutes of the quarter or half, you know, can last forever. So we were just trying to band together, trying to talk each other through it when we were tired or things weren't going right. And it just worked out for the best.
All right, walk me through the celebration. Not only, I mean, there's two of them, right? There's the one that you guys experienced together, and then at the watch party yesterday for the selection show. Walk me through those things and what you guys experienced.
Yeah, I mean, obviously after the final whistle and the final horn, it was just, you know, it was a surreal experience. It was. We finally got it done. We won those five games, won the ACC championship, which NC State hasn't done in a little bit. So it was just pure excitement and pure joy. We were all just running around, hugging each other, just like trying to really enjoy the whole moment and just really take in everything that's going on at the moment. And then obviously the celebration continued in the locker room. And we just, with the trophy, taking pictures and everything, it was just, we were trying to really capture that moment, be in the moment, but also capture it forever. So we never forget it. And then yesterday, it was an unbelievable experience when we were able to have the fans with us, you know, where we were able to, like, take pictures and all that things and really just kind of bond with fans over the whole experience and everything we've been through and throughout the season. And just really, you know, because obviously we wanted to do it for the fans and university too, which is great to really get their, you know, reactions and their excitement also.
37 years since NC State has won a conference championship in men's basketball, maybe the most important school in the history of the ACC to not have won a title in 37 years. The last time they won it, It was 3 years after the Islanders. I don't know if you're an Islanders fan or not, but you grew up in Mineola, which is, I don't know, a handful of miles away from Uniondale. It was 3 years after the Islanders won their last Stanley Cup. I mean, it's forever. I don't even know how you even process any of that.
Yeah, I mean, for me too, it was my first championship in college, so it was definitely an exciting moment to get with these guys. But yeah, I was just, like I said, it's a surreal experience. You know, it's things you've been dreaming about since you were a little kid, just being in these games, hitting these shots, and just celebrating, you know, and just going down in the history book. So it was definitely an unbelievable experience, and we were glad we were able to get it done.
Final thing, why did you choose State when you decided to leave Stanford?
For me, honestly, it was big with fit and feel. When I came out to on the visit, you know, talking with the coaches and just getting a real idea for what they had in mind for me and then the program as a whole. You know, we both had the collective goal of winning a championship coming in. That was one of the biggest things we talked about. And they saw me as a piece that can go help them win it. And I felt like I could be a piece to fit this team to help win a championship. And then I just, you know, with the guys, the piece they had coming back, I felt like I can, you know, contribute and help them make them better as well as them make me better. So it felt like the right basketball decision at the time. And still feels like it at the moment. So,
all right, you're going to do another year regardless of what happens in the next tournament?
Yeah, that's the goal. I mean, I have another year left on eligibility, so the goal is to be here for sure and hopefully run it back and keep it going.
Michael O'Connell, I appreciate your time. The pride of Mineola, New York. By the way, is Mineola North Shore or South Shore? Or because you're kind of in the middle, you don't care?
I mean, it's definitely North Shore, but I don't really claim it like that. I just Nassau County. I call it Nassau County, if anything. So
is there a Nassau Suffolk County beef?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say beef. No, that's a little extra. But you know, when you're talking to different people, if you know they're from Suffolk, you know, you might feel a little different way, or you know, make some jokes and stuff like that. But I mean, everyone on Long Island, you know, everyone sticks together because That's who we are. We're part of New York, so we got to make sure we stick together.
All right, Michael O'Connell, congratulations on not only an iconic shot, but a great run and being a big part of it, and good luck starting on Thursday.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
So there are two counties on Long Island. Nassau County is closer to New York City. Suffolk County is where the Hamptons are. But you got to go all the way to the end of Suffolk County before you get the good stuff. No offense to the rest of Suffolk County. So I was just curious. There is North Shore and South Shore kind of different?
I was going to say, isn't that a thing up there? Like, oh, I'm from this side or that side?
It's everywhere.
I mean, yeah, but
we have arguments. We have arguments over barbecue.
Yeah, we do.
And yes, I know there are differences between Eastern and Western.
Yep.
But there's not that big a difference. It just isn't.
Between the two?
Between Eastern and Western barbecue?
Oh, my gosh.
It's not mustard. Whatever those heathens are eating in South Carolina.
Yeah, that's just wrong.
It's not that big a difference.
Vinegar and tomato paste is a little bit of a difference.
I'm not saying there's no difference. I'm just saying it's not that big a difference. They both have a lot of the same properties in it, and the meat is the same.
I can't agree with that. I've lived here my whole life. So
I struck a nerve.
It's like, no, that's a shame. It's not. It is what it is. You're entitled to your opinion, but they are not the same.
So which do you prefer?
Oh, I like both. See, that's the thing. I like both kinds, but they're definitely not the same.
Well, I don't think are you allowed to like both kinds?
Yeah, sometimes.
I mean, I do, but
sometimes, like, for me, if you just want the barbecue, then it's better to have, like, Eastern style. But if you want, like, a sandwich that's sloppy, Western's perfect.
So Western,
with, like, coleslaw and
Western
all that
is
stuff.
More tomatoey.
Yes. Yeah, it's like a sloppy Joe. It should be, anyway. If it's... It should be, the sauce should almost be like sloppy Joe's.
That's too much sauce. I don't need that much sauce.
Yeah, well, you know, some people like to sop it up.
You go easy on it. But I actually prefer the coleslaw on the Eastern than I do the Western.
That's okay. It's good. Coleslaw is a whole nother thing. How are we making the coleslaw? Because some people don't know how to do that either.
I agree.
Yeah.
I don't want yellow coleslaw.
Oh, no. No, what are we doing?
Yeah, I don't want yellow coleslaw.
No, you probably like your tea unsweet, too. That's nice.
I don't do tea.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's one. It's the one thing
only
where...
only splurge. It's a lot of sugar, so it's not a regular thing for me.
I don't do tea. I don't do the... I don't do that, no. I am sorry, I don't feel like there's that big a difference between Eastern and Western North Carolina barbecue, but I like both. My preference, I think, is Western, but only slightly, and it really is a mood for me. And I just, but I, for some people, like, what are you talking about, Gold? Clearly, that's exactly where Victoria was.